Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. Well, praise the Lord. Last week we were talking about encounter and talking about the presence of God, and going to do a tidy little recap for you. But I do want to remind you again, 28 days of prayer doesn't mean stop praying after that. Doesn't mean it's the only time we pray. But this last, starting last Sunday, we started all the way through every morning. I try to do it before 7. Some mornings I sleep in 15 minutes, but we'll try to get it up there before 7 o'clock. And there's a teaching, a study on prayer, and then some directives to pray about. And we just want to engage that together. How many feel your prayer life going up? You're something happening, something shifting, feeling good? Just it's been good to pray together and use this vehicle. Use this vehicle, I say. Use this vehicle for God's glory and be a blessing. So come on, engage that with us. And I'm serious about the comments. I know you read it and that's nice, but just drop us, even if it's an amen, that was good, you know, and just bless somebody and read it over. And I just, how many of you young people know how to use the internet? You know, if you're under 25, can you use the internet? How many under 25 do you know how to use the internet? How many know how to find impactlondon.ca? Just go there, and I'd love to see some comments from the young'uns, don't you? How many know prayer isn't something you get into when you're old and got nothing better to do with your life? You got to learn prayer really early. And, you know, you can learn prayer. You can teach prayer, and there's a lot of good stuff on prayer in there. Might turn this into a 28 Days of Miracles or a book or something exciting. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in there. So it's good fun. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. So why don't you just engage that with us? And Thursday night, even this Thursday night, we'll find a room here somewhere. But we had a great time of prayer this past Thursday night from 7:30 to 8:30. You're not going to go any longer. We're going to bang 7:30 right to 8:30. It's just going to be an hour of power, and we're going to pray. So come on, you can do it. I know you can. 7:30 to 8:30, it's not complicated stuff. You're going to have fun. You'll be glad you came. It was fiery this last Thursday. It was really, really good. So we want you to come and join us. And on the 8th, it's an all-out Sunday. How many know what an all-out Sunday means? Everybody's out. You're all out. You're doing everything all out. You're just going to full on do it all. That means every person comes. Every person tithes double. No, it's just, I mean, it's just all out. I mean, we're going to plan that day so that, wow, we're going to plan that day so that all of London is on a tilt. And if somebody happened to fall over while they were running, they'd roll right to our doors and find Jesus. So, I mean, we're doing everything we can to get the lost into the kingdom at whatever cost. We want to see people won into the kingdom. Amen? Everybody needs Jesus. And everybody has a right to know that he is wonderful and he is good. So it's an all-out Sunday. It's the first Sunday that the bus is going to be going, picking up students at Fanshawe and Western. It's a new adventure for us. So we want to see that bus filled so that we got to get more buses and other buses and then more buildings and all kinds of crazy things. How many got a vision of something big? Hallelujah. All right. All right, we're going to jump into talking about now presence, now encounter. So we want to talk about encountering God in a big, big way. Now, I was saw one of these old movies. I didn't know that I was that old, but I learned something this week that I'm getting up there. But because I was talking with Jeremiah, even Kelly. I thought Kelly was a bit older than that. But I was talking with some of the other kids and asking them, I go, what does this mean to you? Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Ba, 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 ba. And what does that mean? They went, what? They're like, what? Well, no, listen. Ba, 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 ba. And like, everybody was like looking at me like I had four eyeballs. And just like, what? And I went, oh, come on. And I made Kelly do a search of the internet and pull up the whole scene where, you know, they had the lights and everything in front of the big spaceship trying to communicate with the spaceship, you know, remember? And they're like, bah, 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 bah. And then the spaceship went, wah. I went, wasn't that cool? They're looking at me. They go, that's stupid. You know, I was like, So come on, that was a huge movie in our day. It was awesome, you know. And they're like, whatever, you know. But I had no idea. These guys had never heard of, encounters of the, what is it called? Close encounters of the third kind. And I was like, man, I was just like, how could you guys not know that? So I was just, man, am I. But, you know, thankfully Pat came in and I said, Pat, bah, 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 bah. She went, bah. So 1977, that's when that movie came out. That's surprising. That doesn't seem that long ago, does it? I mean, it's crazy stuff. But you know, I was, because of that, I was did a little search on encounters, because we're talking about encountering God. And the interesting thing is I found out that scientists have said world government should prepare a coordinated action plan in case Earth is contacted by aliens, according to scientists. They argue that a branch of the UN must be given responsibility for supra-Earth affairs and formulate a plan for how to deal with extraterrestrials. That was from the Guardian newspaper, January 10th, 2011. Amen. Man, I mean, that's some interesting stuff. Now, the fellow that they based the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind on is a guy, J. Allen Hynek. In 1972, he wrote a book called The UFO Experience, A Scientific Inquiry. So he even set up a scale of encounters. So here's a scale. You ready? The first encounter was you had a sighting of a UFO. You had a sighting, but it was at least 500 feet away, but you did see a UFO. That's an encounter of the first kind. Then there's encounters of the second kind, was where you had an encounter, it's within 500 feet, and there was evidence of the encounter. So that was an encounter of the, a close encounter of the second kind. This sounds like a lot of Christians' faith. They had an encounter with God, but it was more than 500 feet away. Some people had a second kind, it was within 500 feet, it was pretty awesome, something tangible happened. Then there's the third kind, close encounter of the third kind, which was what the movie was called. Close encounter of the third kind is a sighting of the occupants in or around the UFO. Close encounters of the fourth kind, a person is abducted by a UFO or its occupants. Well, they know that. They've had the experience, so they know that. How do we prove it? I have no idea, but you know, you'd be surprised how many have experienced it. Close encounters of the fifth kind, it's a bilateral contact of events produced through conscious, voluntary, proactive, human-initiated, and cooperative communication. You know, I thought that was kind of weird. I was just going to use it as kind of goofy, but when I looked at it, I said, this can be kind of a progression of some people's encounter with God. You know, some people know God from a distance, some he's a little closer, and there's some evidence. Some have actually had him step off the spaceship and say, hi. You know, some people think that's strange, but you know, Leora. I don't know if Leora's away today or is she around, but Leora just really a new convert beginning of last year or end of last year. And she was giving her testimony at her last woman's event. She said, I was just praying about some things, really seeking God about some things, but then Jesus walked in the room, sat in the bed, and told me everything's gonna be fine. I was like, she never told me that before, but the way she laid it out was like, what? Like, doesn't everybody have that? You know, and I'm like, should we? I've been pastoring for 23 years, and he's never come and sat on my bed like that. Like, I've had close encounter one, close encounter two. But the third kind I haven't had quite had, you know. I thought, wow, isn't it amazing that somebody can be born again in a culture and in an environment where that kind of an experience with Jesus is considered normal? It's normal. In fact, it's desirable. In fact, it happened all over the Bible, even in the New Testament. Remember Paul when he was on the boat and he told them not to go into that storm, but they did, and then they're bouncing around, and then Paul told them, hey, it's all right. Jesus showed up and he told me that we're all going to be good. Boat's going to get wrecked, you know, but we're all going to be fine. It was a personal encounter with Jesus. Remember Paul got knocked off his horse and, who are you, Lord? It's Jesus, the one you're... Close encounters, pretty close. You know, we are called not into a religious exercise or experience or denomination. We're called into a living, breathing experience with a living God. He's just as real as you or I. And in fact, you should be encountering him regularly. In fact, he should be the closest encounter and closest friend you have. That's his desire with you. And yet a lot of people would find pursuing any type of encounter like that, that's weird. Like, do we really want that? And yet God wants to bless you. In fact, God actually doesn't want to be just with you. He is actually in you. When you become born again, the Spirit of God, God himself, he comes and he takes up residence in your life. So you have an incredible close encounter with God, and he can speak to you, and he can lead you, and he can guide you. Can I get an amen? So we might think these things are all strange, but let me just show you a graph right here. This is interesting. I got this out of an article, and it says three out of four people believe that there are extraterrestrials, and they believe that there's something like that. So just we'll go down the line here. You ready? We'll start over here. We'll go 1, 2, 3, 4. Dolores is the only strange one who doesn't believe they're there, but the other three, they're totally into it. Look at that. Just count the three. If you don't believe it's possible, the other three people around you, they're totally into it. That's the poll that these folks took, all right? It's actually a poll of polls. So then it's 3 out of 5. 3 out of 5, then it goes on. I should have wrote down what it all means. But anyway, I can't even see it. It's so small. But the last one, you see the red one on the bottom there? 1 out of 50? It says 1 out of 50 people, 1 out of 50, believe they've been abducted by aliens. 1 out of 50. So we'll count to 49, and then 50 is you. So there are people in this room. So who are you? Ron, I knew it was you. I knew it was you for sure, you know, because I pulled up a picture of an alien. I was going to put it on the screen, but it looked too much like you, so I didn't want to put it there. But no, I'm just kidding. It's amazing what people will believe about encounters and extraterrestrials and all these kind of things. But you walk into a church and we say, I felt the touch of Jesus. He came and touched my life. Jesus spoke to me. You know, I don't think Paul Brooks is here, but Paul was here one Sunday and he had to go to the Supreme Court of Ontario, and he had to go on a case a couple days later. And while he was sitting here and I was ministering, he began to write on the side of his bulletin how he was going to argue the case. And he took his bulletin cover into the courtroom and read from his bulletin cover his defense of this whole thing, and he won. You know, when you say, where did you get that argument from? And even in the judgment, the judges responded, and they said, our response to this whole thing is counterintuitive. And Paul said, I can't believe I won this. I mean, this was like several appeals, and then he goes here, and he wins the case at the Superior Court of Ontario with these Supreme Justices sitting there. And he said, he comes to me, he shows it to me, he says, I got that decision in the presence of God. He spoke to me, and he gave me what to do. You know what that was? That was a close encounter. You know, we are to live our lives completely by close encounters. Are you having close encounters with God? Oh boy, easy. Okay, you should be having close encounters with God. Now, last week we were talking about close encounters, but this week I read a quote from A.W. Tozer. Now, this is amazing. It was just actually got it sent to me through my Twitter account yesterday. Amy, how many Twitter? How many tweet? How many twits? Okay, so anyway. A.W. Tozer, too many people are Christian by assumption, manipulation, or instruction rather than by regeneration. I thought, man, that's a pretty powerful quote from A.W. Tozer. Too many are Christian by assumption, by manipulation, or by instruction rather than regeneration. See, Christianity isn't something that you assume you are. Christianity isn't something you get manipulated into. Christianity isn't something you can even get instructed into. Christianity is an encounter with the living God because it's regeneration. Regeneration means you are born again from above. You are a Christian because you've had a face-to-face, deliberate encounter with Almighty God. You don't have a faith or a doctrine or a church organization you belong to. You know that you're a part of the family of God because you were born again by your eternal Father into his family, and you had a living, breathing, knowledgeable, tangible encounter with God himself. That's what being a Christian is. It's knowing that I am born again by an act of love from a Father who loves me and showed it to me by sending his Son to die for me to restore that relationship. And that is so true because too many people have not had and do not practice a living, breathing encounter with a wonderful God. We are not another religion. We are not another way to believe or another way to cope and get through life. We are connected with the living God. We are engaged now with Him in establishing His kingdom, His power, and His dominion over the whole earth. What an amazing thing we are. What a glorious community we are. We need to be a people of encounter. Talked with some verses last week, 2 Corinthians 3:7-11. Israel could not look steadily on the face of Moses because of the glory. Moses had an encounter with God. He spent time face to face with God. And when he came out of the presence of God, you knew that he'd been with God. How did you know, Pastor? Because he was shining like a gazillion watt bulb. It was so powerful that people were like, Moses, please, I can't even talk to you. Cover that thing up. There is an impact. There is a manifestation. There's a tangible change. There's a transformation that takes place when you engage Him face to face. Just turn to your neighbor and say, are you shining? Good. Good job. That was good. That was good cooperation there. How will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? Literally, one translation says, if Moses, it was a covenant of death that he was operating. It was the law. I mean, it could not bring life. If that covenant had a guy who was shining and glowing so powerfully, I mean, that could not bring life. If he had that kind of tangible experience with God, it says, how much more shall not our experience with God be more glorious? So much so that it would make what he had like no glory at all. I'm talking glory. I'm talking power. I'm talking walking around and people are going, I don't know what you had for breakfast, but it is shining out of you. It's all over you. I don't know who you've been hanging with, but I can feel the power of another world exuding from you every time you pass by. Yes, it's because I've been abducted regularly, taken into the glory realm, saturated with the juices of heaven. I've been drinking deeply of the river that flows from the throne of God, and I am radiating every day His wonderful presence. All right, I'm going to have to settle down. No mics here. His parents haven't been here before. They're from Iowa, and I don't know if they're into this kind of stuff. But they seem to be smiling, so I'm going to keep going. Had to go, Pastor, and embarrass the new people. That's wonderful. Can I get an amen? Amen. 2 Corinthians 3:16-18. From the Message, it says, God removes the veil, and there they see face to face. God removes the veil, and there they are face to face. God removes the veil, and there they are face to face. Come on, turn to your neighbor face to face. Look them right in the face. Get face to face. That's where God wants to be. He doesn't want to be the 500-foot-away experience. He wants to be face-to-face with you. He wants to abduct you regularly and soak you in His glory. In fact, He wants you to go into the fifth kind of experience where you want to be abducted, where you regularly partner with it. And when He's not chasing you, you're chasing Him. All right. Last week, we talked about we need a power. We need power, not words. We need an encounter, not an explanation. We need His presence, not just practice, not just practice. If you've been in His presence, there's a practice that comes out of your life. There is a character. There's a nature that comes because of the relationship. But don't try to do it without the encounter. Don't try to be a Christian without first being a Christian. Don't try to be a believer without first of all being a believer. First have the encounter, get born from above. It's a whole lot easier that way. Jacob, we talked about Jacob because Jacob had an encounter. We want to look at these first encounters. Jacob's name was Supplanter. What a crazy name for a kid. Hello, Deception, come for dinner. I'm not coming. Are you serious or are you lying to me? Did you paint the barn? I did. You deceiver, are you serious or not? Oh, I hate that they called me that. Supplanter, come for dinner. Imagine, that's a terrible name, isn't it? Supplanter, to take the place of another through force or scheming or strategy. Fought with his brother in the womb, very different from his brother, so different. To be like his brother, he had to wear a hairy animal coat. You know what I mean? How many think Esau must have been a brute? I don't even know if you saw him swimming in the pool, you'd be getting out. Not sure what that is in there, but oh my goodness. 911, a Sasquatch in the pool. He literally had to put this big fur on just to go deceive Dad. You know, is that you, Esau? Yeah, sure, feel the fur. Oh, it is you. My goodness, wouldn't want to run into him in a dark hallway, eh? But I mean, totally different from his brother, but his dad liked the hairy brute. His dad liked the hairy, smelly guy. And he was the tender, you know, hanging around with mom and bake, you know, biscuits and stuff. And so he was kind of a different kid. But he stole his brother's birthright. I mean, what do you expect? You call a kid stealer, replacer, usurper. What do you think he's going to do? Huh? So sure enough, he lived up to his name. And he stole his brother's birthright. But because he knew his brother was a brute, he ran for his life. It was almost like 50 miles, just full on, like, you know. Might not have been hairy, but he could run, you know. But so he runs for his life and he stops. He puts his head on a rock. I'm wiped out. And then all of a sudden, boom, God shows up, opens up the heavenly realm to him, shows him that there are angels ascending and descending. You ready? Put out your hand like this. Put it in. Just keep you participating so you don't sleep. All right. Someone. Ready? Ready? Ascending and descending. That looked really good. Look across the room. Ready? Ascending and descending. Awesome. Now, you folks out there on the internet, our international audience, my cousin Phil in Pennsylvania, ready? All you folks out there sitting on your Chesterfield. Chesterfield's a couch. It's a couch. It's a sofa. I said Chesterfield in my house. You might have said sofa. Chesterfield couch. Okay. Ready? All you folks out there in the camera line, ascending and descending. Hey, you lady in Illinois. Okay. Ascending and descending. Awesome. Why did I do that? Because you need to understand that it wasn't angels coming down. It was angels going up and coming down. And you see, what he saw there was not some amazing light show just to give him a happy day. It wasn't just God decided to, let's encourage this poor guy. Let's give him a special show today. Woo! You see, what he did was God pulled back the veil and said, hey, how are you? And when he pulled back the veil, the supernatural realm was totally exposed. And it's always there. It wasn't that it wasn't there before. It's that he wanted to expose to Jacob, this is how you live out of the heavenly realm. This is how you live. When you have access to me through this holy ladder, this ladder where you can approach the throne of God, on this ladder, angels are here. Angels are here. He says, angels are with you. They're with you all the time. And when you engage me and you speak my words, angels are activated and they ascend. And they descend. Well, why do they ascend? They ascend to get the purposes of God, to bring into the heavenly realm, to bring heaven on earth as God wills and desires. So that's what's going on. So it wasn't a crazy, creepy light show just that one time. He literally pulled back the veil and said, this is how you can live. That's what he did. So we talked about that last week. We talked about how he dreamed and he saw the ladder and went through all of those things. All right, so wasn't a special light show. We need an encounter. All right, pop ahead a couple slides. Go ahead, another one. Bing, bang. Go ahead, one more. Pow! We need an encounter. Go ahead, another one. Awesome, here we are. Matthew 3, 16 to 17. The heavens were open when Jesus was baptized. The heavens were open. They opened above him. This is my son. Give me the next one. You ready? Here we are, John 1, 51. Jesus is calling his disciples, and he saw Nathanael under the tree in his prayer time. He had an encounter with God in his prayer time. Then he came and was told to come and see Jesus. Jesus told him about his prayer time. He said, I saw you there under. He went, you saw me under the fig? How cool is that? Man, who is this dude? He knew what I was doing this morning. He was there in my prayer time. Who is this guy? And he says, you're amazed at that? He says, you think that's amazing? Hang around with me some more, and you'll see the heavens are open above me, and you'll see a constant life of ascending and descending. You'll see a constant life where I live out of the heavenly realm, where everywhere I go, angels are activated, and heaven is invading earth everywhere I go. You see, that's what Jesus has done, and now that Jesus has done that for us, we as believers have complete access to that. How do you know that, Pastor? Because Jesus said, as I was sent, now I send you. And then it says later on in John, it says that as he is, so are we in this world. So we have access to that very realm. We have access to the unseen realm, and nothing comes on the seen realm unless it first of all is on the unseen realm. All the things on the seen realm, all were from the unseen realm, so we need to know that the seen realm comes from the unseen realm. We need to get the unseen into the seen, because that's the seen, is to get the unseen into the scene, and it's our job to get the unseen into the scene. Wow, wish I could talk a little faster. All right, so that's what that's all about. So we talked about that. Now, Jacob lived out of this relationship. Jacob lived out of this relationship. In Genesis chapter 30, he went and he worked for his uncle Laban. And if Jacob thought he was a twister, Laban was a real treat. And he worked for Laban for a while, and Laban ripped him off, gave him the wrong daughter for marriage, and just totally messed him around. But Laban, it says, I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for thy sake. So Laban says, I have learned, even that word experience is even through, it can also be translated as divination. I have learned through witchcraft. I've tried to find out why my life is blessed, and I've learned through experience or through divination that my life has gone on the increase ever since I hired you. So Laban found out that this kid, I don't know what's going on, but there's some kind of glory on his life that the very fact that he is here with me causes blessing and increase. Amen. Amen. You paying attention? All right. Because you know what? Your boss should know that because you're here, I'm blessed. Wherever you are, you should be blessed because of that hookup that you have with the presence of God. You should be a living, walking, breathing sign and wonder where you are because you're praying for the business, you're praying for your bosses, you're commanding the blessing of God on your place, and then your boss is going to find out, I don't know what's going on, but I got to lay off two people, but I ain't laying off him because that one is blessing this place. Well, don't lay off anybody. If you're blessing that place, it should be hiring. Amen. All right. So Laban found out that this guy, he's a money magnet. He's a prosperity magnet. Everything around me is prospering. But Jacob wanted to get out of there. And so he made him a deal, remember, with the speckled and the spotted and all that. And sure enough, he said, sure, you can have. But he gave him all of the unspotted animals. He said, try to get a speckled animal out of that. But sure enough, he took them down by the river, and in front of them while they were drinking, he put spots and speckles in front of their eyes while they were drinking. And so they were drinking in the place of procreation, and what they were seeing in the place of procreation is what was manifest. And suddenly, unspotted animals began to manifest speckled and spotted animals. So how did Jacob know that? Was that just a really good idea? No, here's what it says. He says in Genesis chapter 31, 10 to 13, how did Jacob get this revelation? It says right here, the angel of God spoke to me in a dream. It wasn't just a neat idea. He learned how to execute the ladder. He learned an angel of God spoke to me in a dream, and he learned how to activate. And he said, well, let's get this done then. And he got a breakthrough there, and he got a revelation. Now, he's finally released. He's leaving, and now he's coming back into his inheritance. He's leaving there. He's coming back home. He's headed towards the promise of God in his life. He's turning around. He's headed toward the promise of God, the breakthrough of God, the fullness of God. Are you turning around? Are you headed towards the breakthrough? Are you heading for the blessing of God? Are you saying, I want every promise of God in my life to be manifest? Who is that? You're here today. Who is it? Who? I'm crossing over. I'm going into the fullness of God. This is where Jacob was. He's now saying, I am going now into the fullness of God in my life. So look at this. It's a place called Jabbok. It's actually called Jakubuk or something. I don't know. It's funny pronunciation. But Jabbok, it's a place, and Jabbok means emptying. So he comes to the place of emptying. The place of emptying, it's an intersection or it's a crossing over. So here's Jacob, and he's at an intersection. He's at a place of crossing over. What is it? It's a place where God met Jacob before he crossed into the promise of God. It's a place before you cross over that there is an emptying that must take place. There is a lesson that must be learned if you're going to walk into the fullness of God. How many would like to know what that lesson is? How many would like to walk in the fullness of that today? Three people. The rest of you are dismissed. Jabbok. We're at Jabbok. We're at the place of emptying. We're at the place of crossing over into the fullness of God. Now, Genesis chapter 32, 1 and 2. Here he is. It says, so Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. The angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's camp. Come on, say, this is God's camp. So he's ready to cross over. He's ready to step into. He's at that place now of emptying. He's at the place of intersection. He's at the place of crossing and transition. And he is met there by God himself. So God is there. The camps of God are there. He called the place Mahanaim, which means the double camp of two armies dancing. So what did he see? He saw two camps of angelic hosts, and what were they doing? They were throwing a party. They were dancing. They were reveling in the presence of God because that's what they do. Man, that was good right there. Double camp of two armies dancing. All right, let's go on. Genesis 32, 6 and 7. We came to your brother Esau. Now he sent out a group of people. Here he is. He's ready to cross over. He meets God there. But instead of seeing God and seeing the transition and seeing God and what God wants to do, he immediately is thinking, I wonder what my brother's doing. I wonder if my brother still wants to kill me. I'm about to step in. God has promised me this land. I know I have the blessing. I know I have the birthright. But I still wonder, what's my brother doing? Is my brother still mad at me? Does my brother still want to kill me? You're about to step into your destiny, but instead of focusing on the promise of God and his word over your life, you're concerned about your past, you're concerned about issues, you're concerned about things, conflicts, inner turmoils that are unresolved in your life. Hello? Throw me a bone. Just say amen every once in a while. Thank you very much. All right. So here he is. Look, and Esau, what is he doing now? And they came back and they said, we went to Esau. We found him. We told him that you're coming and he's on the way to meet you. And he's got 400 men with him. Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. Right, so you got the promise of God, you got all those things, but you're focusing on things you don't need to focus on. You're focusing on past turmoil and other conflicts, and why are you focusing on them? Because they're more alive in your life right now than the Word of God is. They're more alive in your life, they're shouting louder in your life right now than God's promise in your life. And you're not going to step into your future, you're not going to step into the promise of God until you come to Jabbok and there's an emptying of all of that conflict and all of that strife, and you empty yourself of all of that stuff so you can clearly focus on the fact that God is my source. He can't lie. He's going to bring me through what he said he will do, and I'm stepping into it right now. Thank you. That was good. I didn't even have to ask for it. That was awesome. Right, so he's on the way. So he's still living in an old mindset. He's still walking in the old wounds, unreserved conflict. His inner world is divided. He can't enter into the purpose of God because he's got fear, he's got doubt, he's got unbelief. So what does he revert to? What does he default to? What is his default mechanism? Schemer. Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to divide up everything I've got, and I'm going to send it over one at a time. I'm going to send like several gifts onto my brother, and wave after wave of gifts, and hopefully, you know, and then if he kills one, I'll know that, and then we can all run away. See, here he is. He's got the mind of God, the heart of God, but the default mechanism kicks in, and I've got to take life in my own hands. I've got to figure out how I'm going to do this, and he reverts to the schemer. Jacob, are you here today? Are you here today? Jacob? Hello? God's got incredible promises over your life, but you're sitting even in the house of God, even in the place of God, even as you're driving here, you're worried about your finances, you're worried about your kids, you're worried about all these other things. You're trying to enter into the presence of God, the promise of God, but you're living in total turmoil. Even while you're sitting here in the house of God, you're trying to figure out, how can I balance that? I'll move that to the credit card. I'll take from that. I'll move that from the line of credit. I'll pay Sally. I'll pay Sue, and I'll rob from Bill. Not you, Bill, but I've seen people while I'm preaching balancing their checkbook, still trying to figure it out. I'm going, you know what? Put it away. Focus on the Almighty. There's a breakthrough right in front of you. You're at a place where you need to have some things emptied so you can cross over into the fullness of God. And a lot of people miss incredible encounters with God because they're so completely wrapped up with their fears and their anxieties and their pressures. There's two dancing armies right there in front of you, and you're freaking out about Esau. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. He's still living there. So Genesis 32, 27 to 28, the man asked him, what is your name? So he sends everybody over. He ends up sending even his wives, his family, sends them all over, and then he's left there alone. He's left all by himself on the other side, and he is God. Oh my God. I'm freaked out about everything. Oh my goodness. And he begins to wrestle, it says, with a man. He begins to wrestle with an angel. Now most theologians believe that this is a theophany. A theophany is a pre-incarnate manifestation of Jesus. So he is there wrestling with Jesus. And he's wrestling away, and he's wrestling and he's fighting away. He's going, oh God, oh God. The man asked him after a long while of wrestling, he says, what's your name? Now listen, I love this because the Amplified says this, and this is beautiful the way it says this. He said, what's your name? And here's what Jacob, in shock of realization, whispering. See, while he's there wrestling with God, he said, what's your name? In shock of realization, he whispered under his breath. He's wrestling, he's hanging on, and all of a sudden, while he's wrestling, he said, hey, what's your name? What's my name? Deceiver, schemer, supplanter. And in shock of realization, he went, and that's what I'm trying to do right now. I'm still manipulating. I'm still scheming. I'm even trying to manipulate you right now to do something for me. I'm trying to wrestle with you to get the blessing of God, as if I could manipulate you to get the blessing. You see, you got to think about this. Some people go, oh, he hung on to God. He wouldn't let God go till he blessed him. He hung on to God. As if God couldn't go ping. You know, is he really wrestling with God? Have you ever, when you had, like, when my son was 5 or 6 and I'd wrestle with him, did he really pin me for the 3 count? Oh, you got me, Dylan. Did he ever? No. He might now, because I'm, you know, well. But, you know, back then, you know, it's not that I couldn't toss him off. I was quite enjoying it. You know, here he is, though. You know, he's wrestling, trying to get something. Son, you wrestle with me, I'll buy you that car that you want. Okay, come on. I want the car. I want it. You're not going to wrestle a car out of me. But you see, Jacob wanted to wrestle his destiny. He wanted to somehow scheme it out of God. And God's there. God's kind of like, stop it. Let go. That's enough. Stop. Oh, we're not going to do this, are we? He will not let me go. It's not that he couldn't have gone boom. It's not that he couldn't. He didn't. If you read it properly, it doesn't say that he couldn't do it. He didn't do it. And in shock of realization, he said, my name is Jacob. And he said, now listen, your name shall be called no more Jacob, supplanter, but Israel, contender with God. For you've contended with and have power with God and with men and have prevailed. Oh, so I beat you up, so you finally gave it to me. No, I'm telling you, here's your future. Here's your destiny. Listen, you've prevailed with God. You prevail with me. You have an open door with me. It isn't like you beat me up and I finally gave you your birthright. Listen, this is your future. You are a prevailer with God and with man. And everything you do, there's blessing on your life. So stop it. I'm going to change your name today. I'm going to empty you of Jacob. I'm going to empty you of your schemes. I'm going to empty you of your manipulative ways. And we're going to be done with that. And you see, even to get to this point, he had to touch his hip and say, boom. And now I tell you, you're not even going to go into your future. You're not even going to go at your brother in your own strength. You're going to walk up to him with a blessing scar that you're going to know for the rest of your life that, you know what, it doesn't matter anything about this, my physical being or anything else, it only matters this, that I'm hooked up and I have a living encounter with Almighty God. Because you know what? You cannot take your future in your own strength. And if you're going to cross over into it, you got to get to the place of Jabbok where Jacob becomes Israel. Okay. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor. So we got to have that encounter with God. Stop it. Stop it. And you need to have this living, breathing encounter with God. So it's not that God could not overcome him. He didn't. Jacob didn't manipulate the blessing out of God. He received it through broken contrition. God was overcome by his contrition. God finally was overcome by his place and state of brokenness that I can't go into my future without you. That is the greatest, greatest, greatest fear that I ever have, is trying to, any time of my life, try to do it myself. To ever step into a place where I can do this without you. God doesn't want you to ever do anything without him. In the kingdom, maturity is not being weaned away, it's being weaned to. But we in our flesh, we want to be mature. I want to show God that I've got it going on. No, he doesn't want you to show that he's got it going on. If you do have it going on, here's your confession. I got it going on because you gave me got it going on. If I got anything, it's because you gave it to me. And I'm going to stay in the place of you gave it to me. And you're everything. Apart from you, I can't do nothing. But with you, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But you see, brokenness and contrition is a way of life. And it's not a brokenness of I'm awful, I'm terrible, I'm a worm. It's a brokenness of my life. It's meekness. It's humility. It's my brokenness properly directed that he is my strength. He is my confidence. I trust in nothing else. I rely on him completely. I will never attempt anything out of his power and majesty in my life. When you do that, you start to live out of his overflow and his fullness. And you've stepped into a place called rest. 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 All right, look at this couple verses for you. Isaiah 57:15. For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in a high and a holy place with him who is contrite and humble of spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite. I live in a high and lofty place. Where is that place? It's with humble hearts. It's with people who have broken themselves so that they in power and in majesty are focused on me. You ever watch movies like War Horse and stuff like that where you see those horses? What I can't believe is there's things blowing up everywhere and the horse is running directly where it's been trained to go. It doesn't mean that the horse isn't strong. That horse is incredibly strong, but that horse is not at all worried about what's around it. It is guided by the one who is riding it. It will not turn to the right or to the left, but it'll keep on going, even in the face of incredible fire, bombs, all these things, straight in to the fight because it is led and guided by the one who's riding. That's not weakness. That is incredible power, but that is a manifestation of brokenness. It's a manifestation of humbling yourself under the power of God in absolute total trust that if we're going to head into a fire and jump through a burning wall, it's for a good reason. Let's get her done. There's supposed to be a big amen right there. If I go on long rants and I don't take a breath, you have to give me a big amen so I can breathe again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Psalm 34:18, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. He saves such who have a contrite spirit. The sacrifices of God are, you don't have to worry about me, God. Worry about those other weak people. I got it going on. You only got so much time. Spend it with the weak people. I'm mighty. Hallelujah. Watch me go. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart. These, oh God, you will not despise. If you see that as weakness, you need to turn around. If you see that as, yeah, I don't want to be in that posture. I want to show everybody I'm cool. I got it going on. God doesn't care. God wants you to be totally focused on him. God wants everything. Paul said, I will tell you what happened, not through me, but by the power of God when I preach the word. I will tell you and I will boast in the Lord and what he did. I'm nothing, but he's everything. But it's amazing what he can do when you finally realize, Jesus, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Genesis 32, verse 30. So Jacob called the place Peniel. That's not even how you pronounce that one either, but the pronunciation is too hard, so I'll just call it Peniel. So Jacob called that place Peniel. Actually, I think it's like Penuel, or anyways. Peniel, I like Peniel better. Anyways, he said, I called it Peniel, for I have seen the face of God, and my life is preserved. Peniel literally means facing God. Facing God. In a place, I came to a place of emptying, and in that place, it's two words, compound word, turning and God. Turning and God. In Peniel, I turn to face God. At Peniel, Jacob learned to quit turning and facing himself, quit turning and facing his own ability, quit turning and facing how am I going to get myself out of this mess, and he turned his face to God. And you're going to enter your future. You're going to enter your destiny. You're going to lay hold of all the promises of God and live in the fullness of God by turning your face to God and living every day with face to face encounters. Every day. It's all about that. If you come to church and you're getting all these lovely history lessons about Jesus and lovely little talks about him, who cares? You can have all of that, and it may all be nice, but without a face-to-face encounter, it will get you nowhere. Because we're not trying to teach you and train you how to cope with your messy life. The whole thing is here, and all of it is to point you into a place where I need Jesus. I need you every day of my life. Every day of my life, I will not pass go. I will not start anything. I will not have breakfast. I will not put milk on my Cheerios. That is the cereal of all Christians, Cheerios. I will not eat them until I have first of all said, God, you are the sustainer of all of my life. It's in you I live and move and have my being. You're everything to me. I don't want to do anything today without your approval and your hand in my life. Everything I do, just like Jesus said, my words are not my own, they're his. Everything I do is him. I don't do anything except I first of all see the Father doing it. You can't do that unless you're having a face-to-face life with him. We're talking about a place where we encounter him, where corporately when we come and worship, we encounter him, where the face-to-face is everything. Amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, say amen. Tell them, shout a little louder, amen. Glory to Jesus. All right, I've seen him. Now look, this is beautiful because now he marches in to his future. He goes right up and he heads right up to Esau, you know. Bing, bang. He's going right on into his place. Now, sorry, that's a great thing right there. That's what Jacob had to learn. He had to learn face to face. If God is for us, who can be against us? Think about that. Listen, what a crazy verse that is. If God is for us, who can be against us? Now it's rhetorical. If God is for us, is he for you? Like, if you question that, you got a problem. You should know that God is always for you. Let me just ask him, okay? Let's ask him, God, are you for me today?
Yes.
Thank you. If God is for me, who can be against me? I mean, if God is for me, what can ever limit? Can Esau stop me from entering in the fullness of God? Can A lack of finances stop me from entering in the promises of God? Can this sickness that's trying to afflict my body stop me from entering the promises of God? Can anything created or anything above or below heaven, can anything even separate me from the love of God? No. That's got to be settled once and for all in your life. Because, you know, I know a lot of Christians, and they fire, breathe, and fall on the floor, roll around Holy Ghost Pentecostals. But boy, I tell you, first sign of a trouble. If God settled this once and for all, if God is for me, who can be against me? Got to settle that. His problem is not Esau. No one except you can prevent the blessing of God in your life. You can't go into God's promises with human effort. It's got to be God. All right, we're wrapping up pretty quick. Genesis 33:10. Look what it says. This is now he runs to his brother Jacob, or runs to his brother Esau. And it's so amazing. Esau doesn't come running with a sword. Esau ran towards him. I mean, it's an amazing thing. I don't know what happened in Esau's heart, but he's got over the, you know, stealing my birthright thing. And he comes running towards Jacob. Look, where you been, brother? What's going on? Look at how blessed you are. And Jacob's like, I want to give you all the stuff. He says, I got enough stuff. This is your stuff. No, I want to give it to you. And then they hugged and they embraced. And here's what he said when he saw Esau. He didn't see fear. He didn't see doubt. He didn't see somebody ready to kill him. He didn't see somebody blocking his destiny. Here's what happened. When you go to the place of emptiness and you see the face of God, you can face the biggest, nasty, ugliest thing that you may think is standing in your way, like this. But Jacob replied, no, I beg of you. He said, if you found favor in your sight, receive this gift. He said, for truly to see your face is to me as if I've seen the face of God. I got people just I don't like. I don't think they're for me. I think they're against me. I've got hurts and pains. I've got issues in my life. I've got things that have hindered me. I got things. I don't even want to see them at Walmart. If I ever saw them, I'd run the other way. You should be able to get to the place where to see you and to see your face, it's as if I'm seeing the face of God. Whatever your turmoil, whatever your difficulty, whatever it was. I mean, if you are really totally free, you can face any one of those situations knowing that you are so saturated with the loving kindness and mercy of God that no matter what the situation, there's no fear shaping your future at all. No doubt, no worry. And whatever that situation is, you can go face to face and say, see your face. It's like seeing the face of God. A lot of times bitterness, unforgiveness, misunderstanding keeps you from your future as well. You got to deal with that. Got to deal with that. All right, here we go. Here we go. Now he enters into his destiny, flying through a bunch of chapters here, but hope it helps you, all right? So he called his name Israel. Also, God said to him, I am God Almighty. I love that, don't you? I am God Almighty. I am God who sometimes shows up, and every once in a while you might get a breakthrough. But anyways, be fruitful and multiply. No, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. I am God Almighty. I mean, the imperative to move on to be fruitful and multiply means what it means because, first of all, he says, I am God Almighty. All right, one more screen, just one. Ready? I think it's just one. Say amen. Listen now, one of my favorite verses, you've heard it a lot, I know you have, but listen, when you go to J-Bach, you empty yourself for yourself, and you just get face to face with God, and that's all. That is your single priority. It's just him. Here it is, the blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord. Say the blessing of the Lord. Are you blessed today? I'm telling you, you are. The Lord's blessed you. Listen, the blessing of the Lord, it, what is it? It's the blessing of the Lord. It makes truly rich, and he adds no sorrow with it, neither does toiling increase it. Rest in a face-to-face experience with God. Rest in your encounter with him. If you haven't had an encounter, rest less. I mean, don't do anything else. Don't pass, go have the encounter. But when you've had the encounter with the Almighty, be fruitful and multiply. When you've had the encounter with the Almighty, the blessing of the Lord, well, it makes truly rich. And he adds no sorrow to it. See, some people get rich in their sorrow. I've seen people get rich in their sorrow. Well, the blessing of God makes truly rich and there's no sorrow. Oh, yeah, don't get rich. There's sorrow in being rich. Well, the blessing of the Lord makes you rich, but it's not a sorrow rich. It's just a blessed rich. It's truly rich. And there's no sorrow with it. And neither will your toiling increase it. It is a river, wave after wave of God's goodness and grace that you can't stop even if you wanted to. It's the blessing of the Lord makes truly rich. And it adds no sorrow to it. Neither will toiling increase it. Come on, stand up with me. Come on, say wow. Even if you didn't get it, say wow. Even if you didn't get it, you know what? You were here and your heart was seated with the wonderful, glorious purposes of God. Whether you know it or not, a divine seed God planted in your heart. And if you don't know what was going on here today, just say, I water it in Jesus' name. And it will bear fruit because it's the blessing of the Lord. All right, now I'm going to bow your heads and everybody's praying. Everybody's praying. Everybody's praying. Heavenly Father, Jesus, Lord. Now, maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior. Maybe you need that third encounter, not of the strange kind, but of the divine kind. You need to encounter him as your Lord and as your Savior. And you can encounter him today. We're not asking you to join a church, be a part of a religious organization. I'm asking you to meet your Heavenly Father face to face. And if you want to meet your Heavenly Father face to face, I can have the wonderful privilege of introducing you to a wonderful God right now, right here. It's very simple. He said in his word, if you acknowledge me, if you declare me as Lord, then he's going to come. He's going to abide in your life. If you confess me as Lord, then I'm going to come in and I'm going to make my home with you. And he's going to be right here. You're going to have constant face-to-face downloads of God in your life. If you don't know him like that and you want to encounter wonderful God, good God, loving God who is for you, then I'm going to ask you to put up your hand. But I'm going to go 1, 2, 3. Why? Because then you'll know when to put up your hand. It's really amazing. So I'm going to do that right now. And you can feel just God tugging on your heart right now. And you know it's your day. It's your encounter with him. And he wants to know you. He wants to know you. So listen, you ready? I'm going to count to 3 and put your hand up, okay? And we're going to pray with you. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Put your hand up really high and let me see your hand. Show me your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Put your hand up just so I can see it. I got these lights in my eyes, so sometimes it's hard. So could you lift it up real high? Thanks. Anyone else? Anyone else? I'll even do it again. You ready? 1, 2, 3. There it is. Okay, everybody's going to pray right now, and I'm praying with you, and you're going to pray. And you pray these words with me, okay? And we're all going to pray with you. So you just do that. Pray it out. Let you hear your words. Right now, say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Thank you for forgiving me of all my sins. Past, present, and future. Thank you for introducing me to my Heavenly Father. Holy Spirit, fill me now with your presence. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Whoa, that's good. Hey, can you look at me? Just look at me for a second. Look at me. I want to tell you right now, you just got born from above. You didn't join a church, but you just got regenerated. The Holy Spirit himself, you've been born again. You've been made alive to God, and he is your Father, always was, but he's now been given access into your life, and you will never be the same. Never be the same. And I want to tell you something really, really cool. All your sins are forgiven. You're free, and you're a child of God. You don't have a sin relationship with your Father anymore. Don't have that. You've got a love relationship with your Father. He's nuts about you. He loves you. He always has, and he always will. And he's going to help you. He's going to bless you. He's going to encourage you. But you should let us know you did that because we want to help you learn what it is to be a part of the family. Amen. I'm going to ask those who are ready to minister at the altar to come up front if they would. And we're going to just pray and going to release you to go. But if you're helping me pray for folks today, could you come? And these folks are all highly trained. They've been through an intense class. we've spent time soaking together and enjoying. But they are. They're really wonderful people. I know that they know how to love on you and care for you. You know, maybe you're right now. You're at J-Bach. You're at that place of transition. You're at the place of crossing over. Maybe there's something you need help with or prayer. Maybe there's something you need to forgive or release. Or there's something just say, I need personal prayer today. I need ministry. Maybe it has nothing to do with the service. Maybe you just need somebody to agree with you for a new car or for your house to be sold or for a child that you're believing for. Whatever it is, there's people here, and the altar is a wonderful place to meet with God. And if you haven't been here for a long time, you should come. Even if you got nothing to come for, just come. Say, oh, I love you, Jesus. But we love you. We're going to bless you. You ready? Oh, I do need to pray. Where is Angela and Matthew? Are they both here? Both right there? Where are they? Come on up here. Now, Angela and Matthew have been with us for several years now. But Angela's hubby's got a job out Calgary way, I think it is. And so they've been looking and tracking out that way. And so we're here today just to break that curse of Calgary off their lives. And so I'm just kidding. Just kidding. It's going to be our loss, but we love you guys. It's been such an amazing time to fellowship with you guys and bless you. But I know that we've been able to spend time together. And you've been a blessing to us. We've been a blessing to you. And we pray you go with a rich, rich blessing as you go to Calgary. And I pray God would plant you in somewhere really good. Plant you somewhere where you'll feel welcome right away, where you'll feel that your gifts and your abilities will just be poured in. Pray for your husband, for favor on him. Pray that, you know, someplace you'd find this real comfortable, that, you know, he'll just be every Sunday, oh, let's go to the house of God. We just pray for an incredible breakthrough for your life. But we love you guys. And we celebrate you. We celebrate what he's doing in your heart and life. And we bless you in this transition. We pray in this transition that you'd find just an open door in front of you that would be full of blessing. Pray for Matthew that he'd find friends and a school. And the transition wouldn't be awkward for him. But we pray that he'd continue to grow in the knowledge of you and experience your kindness, your goodness. And so, Father, we love them. And we don't want to let them go, but we're going to. And we're going to keep them in our heart, though. We're going to stay in touch because we just can't do without them. And so we just command your richest blessing on them. Thank you for them. Cover them. Surround them. We plead the blood of Jesus over everything. In Jesus' name, amen.
I just want to encourage you, Matthew. I just feel like the Lord just saying, don't be afraid, you know, because you'll find lots of good friends, because you have a lovely disposition. You're a really good kid. You have a great heart, and that will always open doors for you and always win you friends, all right? So you have nothing to be afraid of.
Good, good. I moved a few times. It was painful and ugly. No, it wasn't. It was always good. It was always good. Amen. Lift up your hands really high. Hallelujah. Father, I love this house. I love these people. What a joy it is to see their smiling faces. I'm so refreshed every time we gather. I thank you, thank you, thank you. And Father, now I just command your richest blessing on them. I have a command to bless the people of God. And I thank you for the blessing of God that makes truly rich. Let it invade every heart and in every life right now. Let them receive a bounty of your goodness. Father, let your love overflow their hearts. Let the grace of Jesus Christ radiate through them. And Holy Spirit, you're the divine partner. Take them and use them for your goodness and your glory. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen.